Have you ever absolutely panicked after you accidentally deleted a file on your computer? I know I have. It's not an issue if you've got CrashPlan Smart Recovery. Your files are just a few clicks away and can be restored in a snap. CrashPlan provides the best cloud backup solutions in the market. Visit crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. Now you can protect all your work with an unlimited backup and recovery solution. CrashPlan makes it simple to restore some or all of your data. And with unlimited version retention, CrashPlan can be your ultimate rewind button. Get unlimited computer backup for you or your business with CrashPlan Professional. CrashPlan backs up files that live on your computer and works with PC, Mac, and Linux. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
Hello, everybody. We are super excited for you to listen to this episode. We are joined with Tara Bossler of T. Bossler Writing. She's a copywriter, yo, for creatives just like all of you. So we're super, super excited for you to learn from Tara. And we want you to like have your ears peeled out because there's a funny noise in this audio that we're not gonna cut out. And I want you to try to guess what it is before she says what it is, because to me, it doesn't sound anything like what it actually is. Ooh, suspenseful, huh?
Oh my gosh. I was just going to tell you what it was, but I guess I'm not, because inside this episode, we're talking about how to be authentic in your writing and how to use your conversations with not only your friends, but your clients as intel to use on the things that you spit out to the world. Mm-hmm. We're talking about whether it's okay or not to be grammatically correct. And we get into some details about how to hire a copywriter. So I know this sounds simple, but Tara breaks it down to make it even better for you inside your business. I can't wait for you to jump in and start writing some copy. Welcome to the podcast, Tara. It's good to have you here.
Thank you so much. I am super, super excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, I might have overheard that you were talking about us at a conference.
Yes, that happened.
I might have overheard that there was an argument about something.
Yes, we were talking about, so at the Boss Mom retreat, mm-hmm. there was a table of us. Jessica Sansbury was there, Kendra Hennessy was there, Shelley Robinson was there, and I was there. And we were talking about your podcast and how much we love it. And we were arguing about who got to be whom, which was hard because we all wanted to be both of you. And in the time-space continuum, that's just not physically possible. So, but yes, you were. So if your ears were ringing around, you know, late January via San Diego, that's what was happening.
Well, I think the cool part is you can pick the best parts of both of us and then just be that person in your imaginary life.
It just makes me happy is all I really wanted to say about that. I think it kind of brings me to my first thing that I want to talk about. And Emily and I put a lot of time and energy into not being anybody else but ourselves. Mm-hmm. And you are a copywriter that very much believes in the same thing and being authentic in your writing style. And so I'd love to hear about why you think templates suck and everyone should start writing the way they truly are.
Yeah, I'm really kind of the anti-template copywriter gal because I think a lot of times, you know, we're kind of inundated with templates. It's so many of the opt-ins we see, you know, we Google something, there's a template. And I'm not saying templates are inherently evil because I don't believe that, but I think that it's really easy to misuse them. And so if all you're doing is filling in the blanks of a template, that's what it's going to sound like. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to resonate with anybody because that's, you know, that's a Mad Lib, which fun on a road trip, but not something to you.
I freaking love Mad Libs. Like, that was all I spent my childhood money on, right. Was, like, all Mad Libs.
Right, but now we're grown-ups and we have businesses. So we need to, like, not Mad Lib our copy. And I think, you know, I think a template can be a great starting point. It can be a great guideline. But like I said, if all you're doing is filling in the blanks, it's not going to resonate with anybody. Mm-hmm.
So I know a lot of people rely on templates or outlines or frameworks to really get started when they have no idea, like, what does their sales page look like? What does their about page look like? What does their homepage look like? So how can someone use those as helpful guidance, but not like follow verbatim what the rules are? And I put rules in quotes if you guys can't see that. Yeah.
So I think that it's a great starting point, but then making sure that your voice is in there is important because you cannot, you know, use a template to create your voice. So kind of filling in the blanks is a great first step. And then thinking about, okay, what is the part of my brand that needs to be in this? How do I, you know, create my voice within these blanks that I've just filled in? And so, I mean, there's a lot of pre-work that goes into that so that you know what words you need to bring in to be part of your brand and conversational and educational and informative and simple and to the point. You know, it's not like
all of those things.
Just do all those things and you're fine.
You guys got it. Bye.
Yeah, totally good. Podcast episode over. But yeah, there's a lot of moving parts to it. And I think that, you know, a template can be a great starting point, but it cannot be the end point or the only point.
So everyone says, okay, well, write like you're talking to your best friend. And I feel like that's just kind of like a gut reaction of what everyone says. Of just like, just take this advice and it will work for everyone. I feel like it works for some businesses like ours. It could work really well. We're very friendly with our people. We like want, like truly, like, please be my best friend. I need more friends in my life. So I speak like that. And I write like that. But it doesn't make sense for every business. So what's another kind of like go get them phrase if that's something that just won't work for you?
I think a really helpful exercise for a lot of my clients is, so let me back up. I taught communication classes at the university level for 8 years. And so I have a lot of background in terms of communication theories and practices and things that sound really boring, but I make them interesting. That was my job as a teacher. So a lot of what my process, my workflow is based on is video chats because there's so much nonverbal communication that happens that way. Mm-hmm. So that's how I infuse my client's voice into their copy. Now, if you're doing your own copy, you have to listen to yourself, which...
Awkward.
Right. So I tell my clients to video record two different conversations, one with a friend and one with a client. And where those two places overlap is usually a good sweet spot. So if that whole like BFF thing doesn't completely work for your business, I think the BFF and the client conversations can kind of meld together. And that overlap is where you're going to find that conversational when you're going to resonate with people through your copy. And I work with almost exclusively online business owners, so they have to do that. Mm-hmm. So that's a nice little sweet spot to do that. And it's awkward. And it is awkward to watch those conversations back, but it's really, really helpful because all of a sudden you realize the little, you know, the little quirks that you do and the phrases that you use over and over, which can then become part of your brand language and can become part of your about page. And it's really actually, once you get over the awkwardness, it's actually quite helpful.
So do you like set up a camera in the corner and just like try to forget about it? Because I feel like I would try to be more funny than I am if I set up a camera. I mean, I'm just being honest.
So now I think that's interestingly enough, there's a communication theory behind that people communicate differently when they know they're being observed. But so
now I'm like being super self-conscious about what I'm doing right now because we're on video chat. You guys can't tell. And now I'm like, what am I doing over here?
And I'm analyzing everything that you're doing. Yeah. So I think most of the people that I work with are really, really used to doing this video chat thing. And so it does feel pretty comfortable to ignore the fact that they're recording it because they're used to doing these video chats. All you have to do is like click the record button. And if it's really that distracting, just put a piece of paper over the little red button. But yeah, I mean, I think if I were to ask, you know, brick and mortar business owners to do that, it would be a lot more uncomfortable. But the fact that people are, this is kind of how my people sort of conduct business, I think it's less uncomfortable.
Okay, that makes way more sense. Because I was literally picturing like 1980s, like really ugly gray carpet and like sitting at a card table and like
with like a camcorder,
like mirror glass and like a giant camcorder on the other side. And so recording a Skype call sounds way more reasonable.
Oh, yeah. On Skype or like Zoom or something.
Yeah.
Or FaceTime, you know.
Just like we're doing right now, Abby. It's okay.
Woo!
Yeah, you don't need that out there. Yeah, and you don't need a VCR for that.
Yeah, I don't think until our people started calling it out, like how many phrases we just flat out make up and just smush words together and say the strangest things. We would like hop off a webinar.
Like shmush muffins?
Shmush muffins. We would hop off a webinar and like go into our Facebook group and people would like be quoting lines from the webinar. I'm like, I didn't say that. Yes, you do. You know, weirdo. Yeah.
But it's good because, and now I'm like, okay, so you've come up with this bank of awkward moments that Abigail and Emily say, and you're like, now I'm going to infuse this awkwardness into all the places. But one of the things we struggle with, and I'm sure other people do, when your brand is as quirky as you are, how do you balance grammar and punctuation? Well, no, I'll spell check things occasionally, but like, how do you like, cause I would do dot, dot, dot a lot.
I'm not going to say whilst, like, even if it's grammatically correct, I'm not going to put that on our website. Cause it's just not, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to write it. So like, how do you battle the, I know this is technically incorrect, but it's not how I speak. And like, does it always need to be correct? Does no one really care?
Fewer people care than we realize, I think. People want to connect, not to correct. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it's more important to resonate with people and not be, you know, your time is better spent connecting than making sure your punctuation is
so on point. So if I get an email where someone
says,
you misspelled blah, 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 or this is terrible and this is totally grammatically incorrect, you're telling me I should delete the email and go to my Facebook group and instead engage and provide value?
Yes. And that is So this is something, it's interesting because I used to be really torn about this because when I would get emails, and I still get them and it still bothers me a little bit, with things misspelled or with typos, and I would be like, oh, that's so unprofessional. But also, but then I was like, but this person's amazing at X, Y, and Z, right? And so I'm like, I'm going to overlook that. And I end up giving, you know, some of those people lots of money and investing in them considerably. And so it doesn't, you know, I think that we're all sort of the same age. We kind of grew up in this in-between space where it's like we were taught these things about what professional is. And then we grew up and now we're in this space where it's like, actually, a lot of that stuff doesn't matter. Like literally none of my clients have asked to see my resume. Mm-mm. You know what I mean?
So it's GPA.
Exactly. And so, you know, it's like, not that that stuff doesn't matter at all, but it's just, there's different markers for success now. There's different markers for credibility now. And so, you know.
Yeah. I just like release that. So my husband, we've said this on another episode before, but my husband will like text me if we have something misspelled on like an Instagram caption or something. And it's not like something like a link or like a broken link. Like that's a whole nother story. Like you need to fix that if you want people to go to your website or whatever. But he just like would freak the French toast out about it. And I'm just over here like, calm down. That is not going to make me any more money if I go correct like how that word is arranged in that sentence. Everyone gets it. Like our brains are smarter anyways. They probably don't even see that it's misspelled. So everyone just needs to chill out.
Yeah. I mean, the one exception to that is me, because I'm a writer.
Yes, please.
So if, you know, if your thing is writing, then it needs to be on point. Like my posts and my emails and my web copy, right? That needs to be perfection. But when that's not your thing and that's not what you are selling, I don't think that it matters as much. But yes, if you are a writer, it really matters. Like for real.
It's
for real.
Kind of your job. Right? So maybe fix that.
Yeah.
So speaking of people who writing is not their thing, we hear like all the time from people, like they literally just, they're staring at a blank page. They don't know where to start. They don't know how to fill the holes at their website.
Blink, blink. Blink, blink.
It's like in their nightmares. So, can you give us some exercises or, you know, some fun things to do to just freaking get started? Like, how do we get the words out?
Yeah, a couple things that I think are really helpful. One is an exercise that I call your brand language word bank. And so you go through all of your foundational copy and you write out, you know, and this is just, you can kind of free write it. It doesn't need to be super, super perfect. Write out things like your mission statement, your manifesto statement, your elevator pitch, your ideal client stuff. Like write all of that out. And then what happens, even if it's not super perfect, is themes will emerge, right? And so empowerment, freedom, expression, creativity, right. Those become themes from there. From those are going to kind of be your anchor words. And so those should always kind of come up in your copy. But then brainstorm on those words so that you have, you know, you have things to pull from anytime. So I always have, when I go through that process and that exercise with my clients, I have them, you know, create this word bank and then print it out and post it like in physical space, not, you know, it's a document that you can go search, but it's up, you know, it's in your line of vision so that you're never staring at a blank screen. You always have something to work with. But then it also becomes part of your subconscious and it becomes part of like second nature language when you're talking through things with your business. So even when you're just like, I need to, you know, post something on my Facebook, like you have stuff to pull from right there.
Yeah.
And then you have something to do. And what was the other? Oh, you don't have to start at the beginning. Sounds counterintuitive. But when you're writing an email or you're writing one of the pages on your website, I think, or your sales page, I think we're really, you know, it makes sense. It makes logistical sense to be like, I'm going to start at the beginning, right? But that can be a really intimidating part to start with. So just start writing somewhere, just get something down, even if it ends up being in the middle of the page. You know, there's this great thing called computers now. And so you can just like put text wherever you want it.
Welcome to 2017. Yes,
exactly. So you don't have to, I mean, and that's, as a teacher, that's what I taught my students with writing as well. But, you know, they always tried to start with the introductory paragraph. I'm like, you don't even know what you're introducing yet. Like, yeah. You haven't written anything. So start in the middle and that's totally fine.
Yeah. I like to, whenever we're writing a sales page or an email, whatever, it helps me to first just like bullet point out, like, what do I actually want to tackle in that thing? What are the goals of this thing? And it's usually from forming those sentences that I'm like, oh, okay, here's how I kind of want to introduce the topic. I have the hardest time with ending things. Like Abby knows this. I'll like write a whole sales page. I'll write a whole email and I'll be like, okay, go finish this for me. Like I literally just cannot like wrap it up. So mostly just for me, help me for a second. What are some things that I can do? Like, am I literally, because I think I'm like trying to think too much back in like high school where it's like recap and have like the outro and like recover the points that you talked about. And not every time does that make sense. And so I'm usually just like, you're awesome. You're really pretty. And I believe in you. Bye. And like then I'm done.
Well, I mean, I think that could actually work for you.
It often does though.
That's very,
I can't tell you how many times she said you're really pretty is the like last sentence of an email because she didn't know what else to say.
I'm like done talking. Well, that's how I exit conversations in real life because I'm super awkward in person. I'm just like inching out of the room like, okay, bye. You look really good right now. I gotta go. Bye.
I mean, that's good though, because then people are like, oh, thanks. Oh, she's gone. That's weird.
I felt really good about myself right now.
I think that just like with anything in terms of your business, you have to think about the end goal first. And so thinking about what the purpose is or what the call to action is should always be the driving force and the catalyst for writing the thing at all. And that should always come at the end. So whatever that call to action is should always be at the end. And I stress a lot that the call to action always has to be the first thing in your mind when you're writing something, because otherwise you're journaling. Like that's but put it in your journal. So
it's not your diary.
Right.
That shit.
Totally fine, right? It's part of your miracle morning. Great. But don't write a web page or write an email with no call to action, no purpose. Like that's, your diary and like an email to your mom. Like that's it. Otherwise there needs to be a call to action.
Want to learn exactly step by step how to get paid to generate leads in your business? I've kept these details to myself for far too long. I'm ready to spill everything and give you the exact steps that help me generate tens of thousands of qualified leads and millions in low-ticket digital product sales. I won't just show you what I did, but teach you how you can do it too. I'm talking not just how to create low-ticket digital products, but also showing you how to use them strategically to generate leads for your other existing or future offers. I'm sharing it all at bossproject.com/jumpstart, including exactly how I made $8,033 and generated 277 leads my very first month selling digital products. Find out more at bossproject.com/jumpstart. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love that Indeed makes it easy to hire because I'm busy enough already. When we've hired in the past, the process was full of unqualified applicants. With Indeed, we can target the right candidates for the right position. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/strategy hour. Just go to Indeed.com/strategy hour right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/strategy hour. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Money issues are a common stressor in any relationship. Monarch Money is the top-rated personal finance app that can get you and your partner on the same page without any extra cost. Monarch has built-in collaboration features, so together you can see your finances, budget, and get insights on your cash flow. It's the easiest way to manage any household finances. I've tried other finance apps in the past, and they didn't work the way I wanted them to. I don't want to stress over finances. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/strategy. Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint and keep all of your tags and categories. Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it so easy to get set up, customize, and use. Monarch prioritizes my privacy, and they'll never sell my data to third parties. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/strategy. That's monarchmoney.com/strategy for your extended 30-day free trial.
Yeah, I think Emily tends to spend a lot of time coming up with new words or phrases, which is great. Because
they just come to me. I don't even spend energy on that. I'm like, here's a new word.
Well, they come out, which is great. And then I have to go in and like go back put some structure through the whole thing and like make things bulleted and delete entire paragraphs. Because I'm like, what does this even mean? Like, this is gibberish.
That's why there's two of us.
So, yeah. That is so helpful. But if someone doesn't have a third party editor, what do you have ideas for to like come back objectively and review your copy and cut and paste and like rework and make even more awesome?
So a couple things. Start early, because it's not great to have a situation where you kind of put everything out and you're like, oh, this needs to go out right now. If it's not, it's something that, you know, is important enough that you're emailing your list or you are, you know, clicking publish on a blog post, it should be thought out. And so writing it, stepping away from it and coming back to it after sleeping for some amount of time mm-hmm. is really helpful. And then the other piece is something that is so valuable to me is my groups of my intentional groups of friends and masterminds that, you know, find somebody that is their thing, right? Yeah. And that your thing is not their thing, and you can kind of pass things back and forth. And so I said two things. Actually, there's a third. So three things.
Ooh, surprise.
Yeah. A bonus one. Make friends with people that should be considered your competitors. That's my dog's ears. They are on every single podcast. Very fluffy. So I think that we too often are like, oh, that is a competitor. Right. And what they actually can be are friends, because there's plenty of business around for everyone. And so there are
fish are friends, not food.
Yes. So I'm always sending my stuff to my fellow writer friends, my fellow copywriter friends mm-hmm. that I'm like, hey, you know, because so often we're too close to our own business. And so I'll, you know, I can create killer email sequences for my clients. And then I'm like, is my email sequence stuck? Like, is that,
yep.
That's bad, isn't it? I'm going to send it to somebody. And so, you know, making friends with people that are in your field and, you know, if you're nice to them, they will help you.
Yeah. That's what we rely on. We have a small mastermind that we've talked about before on the podcast, and we talk about podcasting during our masterminding, but we will also like send a sales page to them or send an email to them or send like something for them to look over, because they know enough about what we do and they learn more and more about why we're doing it every time we meet, but they're still super objective and they're still like, okay, I don't like really get what you're highlighting here, because it's super obvious to us and to the people writing it.
Exactly.
But you need someone who's like intelligent and like in the kind of like realm of online business. Like, don't send it to your mom if she doesn't know what the internet is.
Right.
Please.
Because she'll be like, it's great. It's the best thing ever. It's a
beautiful. What does download mean? I don't know. So don't do that.
No, I think having those people in our corner has been really helpful. And even, you know, it's okay if you do have them in different places. Like, we have some people we talk to a lot on Facebook, but there's some people that, like, that kind of communication, I should text them or Vox mm-hmm. them or email them or whatever. And so, like, communicating the way they need to be communicated to, so that you get the information back that you need to be successful.
Yeah.
Like,
this doesn't have to be anything fancy. Like, I've like literally copy and pasted a couple sentences and send it in like a Facebook Messenger to a member of our team. And I'm like, hey, rewrite the sentence, because it sounds really weird, but I'm like been staring at it too long. And she's just like, beep, 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 doop, doop, and sends it back. That's what typing sounds like in my world. And then she sends it back. And I'm like, oh, that's brilliant. Thank you. So, like, don't stress about it. Like, you don't have to, like, I think so many people are like, to whom it may concern, can you, like, please look over this copy? Right.
Then you're not friends.
You're not like, friends.
If you can't just say, do I sound like an asshole or is this awesome? Like,
right.
You know, like, right. You need to be able, I mean, maybe that's just the only
I like
way
that
I
those
talk.
Are the two options.
That's it.
And awesome.
Asshole or awesome. I can go either way. No
right.
Middle ground. Okay, so I want to talk about, I just want to know this as my own self. We have thought at a point in our business, okay, maybe we need a copywriter on our team, like someone to actually like write out the sales page or write out the sequence or whatever. But we've also been like, someone else can't come in here and say what the French toast and it like comes out naturally. Like, only we can do that. So, A, like, what are the different stages of needing and hiring a copywriter? How can someone help someone? How can you help someone who absolutely doesn't know how to write and someone who's like, hey, my voice like has really built our brand and our business, but we still might need some help. What's the difference?
So there are kind of lots of levels of doing this. So there are people that they really just need help with one specific project. And interestingly enough, that tends to be an about me page, which kind of cracks me up because it tends to be something that people really, really struggle with. So it could be something that's, you know, they are struggling with finding their own voice and helping to create that brand language, and that brand voice can be part of something I do. Then there are people that don't want to do any of their writing. So I work really closely with them to get their voice, get their brand, get their story, get all of that in place. And this probably isn't professional to say, but I have to like them as a friend.
I think that would be helpful.
I think it makes a lot of sense, honestly, but I don't think it's unprofessional.
Well, I think it's, I think it's not a traditional professional statement, but if there's, you know, if there's somebody that I'm going to be their writer and I have a couple clients that I am, like, I do all of their writing, I have to like them and I have to get them and I have to, you know, be able to get into their mindset and their little quirky uses of language. And so I don't, I'm really picky about that kind of client.
They want that too, because I feel like as their sole writer, you could make them sound like an asshole or make them sound awesome. Right. And like, you have a lot of power there. So it kind of needs to mesh.
Yeah. I think though that when I've had issues or situations where people are concerned about their voice, it's less of an issue of skill or talent, and it's more an issue of control. And so it's really an issue of, can you let this go? Because if you can, I can make it awesome. And then you, it's completely off your plate. Right. And like writing content, that's off your plate. Like that's a huge piece that's off the plate. And so I find that it's less about skill and talent, and it's much more about, you know, are you ready to let this part go? Because that's what outsourcing is. It's, are you ready to let that part go? Those damn ears.
I need a recording of his ears.
That's him.
Oh my God, you guys. I want to record that, and I want that as my new text tone.
Tara's dog's ears. You have a text message.
Yes. Maybe it will help me not ignore them and collect 547 unread text messages that are currently on my phone. Another time. I'm not joking.
That's not Emily's communication style, by the way.
Do not text me. I will never answer. Unless it's just Bitmojis, then I can do. I can communicate in Bitmoji.
That's me with voicemails. I'm like, I see that I have one. I'm not ever going to listen to it.
No. I have 35 unlistened to voicemails.
Yeah, Voxer. I'm all about Voxer.
I was too, and then my phone stopped making it work. It literally, I cannot even open it.
That's a nightmare.
Okay, this is like turned into rant corner. So now that segment is over. back to like
hiring,
skill set, hiring, etc.
Yes.
What would that look like for someone who like can't let go of that control, but literally doesn't have the time anymore? Talking about us here, who to do that? Like, is it true? So what I've convinced myself up until this point is that like us writing the things is what makes us money. Like us writing the things is what creates our brand and like continues that going. Is there such a thing as someone coming in and picking up where we are kind of leaving off, keeping the ship running, and there not being a weird like transition? Like, is that even a thing?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is absolutely a thing. So it would be, you know, I think it has to do with a trial period, right? Like,
yeah.
What does this look like? Like, write, you know, whatever you're looking for, next, and I would use the next project, because if it's fantastic, then it's done. And then see, you know, see how that goes. And if the editing process and the first few things are going to be, you know, there's going to be a back and forth.
Sure.
But if the first few edits, it's like you get it done and amazing in two edits, like that's great. And so I think it's, you know, it's a dating period. Like, let's see, let's go for coffee. Else. And then maybe, then maybe a 3-course meal. And then maybe, you know, so.
Send you some
You know, no voicemails though. But other than that, totally. Yeah. And I think it's just it's a trial period and seeing what the other, you know, what their portfolio looks like and, you know, what kinds of work they do, which may or may not, it's interesting that, you know, when you niche down what you expect to happen and then what really doesn't happen, because there are, like, I've written for an exterminator in Florida. I'm in the Philadelphia area. So I am not a Southerner by any means. I'm a Yankee. And, but his girlfriend found me in one of the Facebook groups that I'm a part of, and she loved what I do. And he contacted me and was like, I want you to write for my exterminator business. And I was like, what?
Okay. So you're like, bugs, I squish them?
And that's the thing. Like, I'm like, I'm just going to write what I'm going to write. And he was like, I love it. Like, I renamed their insurance thing, like the icky bug insurance. And he's like, I love it. I'm like, cool.
So you get to like play these different roles in your life. Like, it's Tara as the Florida exterminator.
Yes.
It's amazing. I love that.
Yeah. It's super fun. But that's the thing. Like, niching down, I think people get upset or get stressed out about niching down. And it's like, literally, nothing's going to stop someone from hiring you that wants to hire you. Clearly. Yeah. Like, I'm like, I serve creative women entrepreneurs that are trying to, like, raise
family.
Right. And that exterminator guy from Florida is like, write my bug stuff. I'm like, okay, cool. He always pays his invoices on time. Always.
Hey, well, and you could niche down to that. I write your bug stuff. You could be the copywriter for exterminators worldwide.
Right. Not really what I want to build my empire on. But it's always a backup plan. Jackie's very involved here.
Hi, puppy. I feel like this is something we should have recorded the video of also so people can experience this. It's fine. Sorry, guys.
He's like literally all up in their lady business. Which I guess I should say shout out to Jessica Stansbury.
Shout out to that podcast. So if we're like all, okay, sure, Tara, we might hire someone. And for other people also, like, how do you make sure that it is a good fit? How do you make sure that the relationship is going to work? Like, yes, the trial period, but like, do you like hop on some Skype dates? What questions do you ask? Like, how can you tell from looking at their portfolio that it's actually going to work for you if they are all of these other types of businesses?
Yeah. I have a checklist about the things that you should ask a writer before you go and hire them.
That's handy.
Yeah, it is handy. But, you know, things like what's your process? What's your workflow? What does this look like? How do I know which part of the process you're in at any given point? Mm-hmm. So I use Trello. So
soft plug to Trello.
Yeah. But just, you know, and it sort of doesn't matter what the answers are to those things, but a good writer should have an answer for those things.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of what I talk through in that checklist is like, this isn't like this is the question and this should be the answer. It's this is the question and whatever the answer is should be a solid one and should have purpose behind it. You know, why do you do, like I explained before, I'm very intentional about doing video chats and insisting on the video chats for these specific reasons. This is why my workflow looks like this. This is why I will not just do a phone call with you. This is why I need a certain amount of time. I had somebody email me that I had never worked with, never even met. And she was like, I need Facebook ad copy by Friday. I'm like, that's not, I can write it. It's gonna suck.
Mm-hmm. Not it's because not gonna I'm, pay off for you.
Right. Like it'll, you know, it'll sound fine. It'll sound good. I'm a good writer, but I don't know you. I don't know your voice. Yep. I don't know your brand. I don't know your business. And so, you know, understanding what that workflow looks like, what the timelines look like and why, all of that, you know, that should be a good, solid, purposeful, intentional conversation that flows for both businesses and that both businesses have the same kinds of priorities. Like, I want to know your authentic voice. You want me to know your authentic voice. Like, the person that emailed me for Facebook ad copy by Friday, we don't have that same value base. And so, fine, not for me. You know, we're just not a good fit.
Well, and I love that you just own that. I feel like so many other, especially client-based businesses, service client-based businesses, who, like, if someone wants something expedited or overnight or like super fast, and they will rush around to try to make this happen because they want to get this client, or they want to show, like, they want to make this person happy. That's making no one happy.
Right.
Like, literally no one. And so know what your time frame is and know why. Like, excellent point to know the why, and stick to your guns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of this exact thing, now granted, it wasn't copy. It was design.
So it's not the exact thing.
Oh, shut up. It did. It is. It is exactly the same thing. I have a friend, i.e. she works for us, and she got approached by a very, very big name in this business for a very quick turnaround project. And she's like, how much should I charge for this? And I was like, well, I really don't want to tell you how much you should charge because I can't afford to pay you anymore. but here's my honest answer. And so she took my advice and she did. And then come to find out, the person they ended up hiring was 10% of what she had sent the proposal over for. And I was like, then it wasn't supposed to work out. Like, end of story. And so sometimes we get so caught up, like, this opportunity just seems so perfect for us. And I know this is nothing about copy. This is more about running a client-based business. But we get so caught up and we think this project is perfect because it just, like, landed in our lap. And it's like, I just need to respond with the perfect proposal, and then I'm just going to have this money pop in my inbox. Not necessarily. So,
yeah, I mean, some opportunities fall in our lap so that we know what to say no to. And that's so important, because I don't do rush jobs ever unless it's for one of the people that I do all their writing, because I can bang out an email for those people. But yeah, I don't, like, we need time. It's like, again, it's like dating. We need time to get to know each other. I need to understand, you know, your brand. And I find that people that want a rush job, like, they don't have a brand, right? Like, they don't have, they're not actually ready for outsourcing to a copywriter. They just don't feel like doing it. And some copywriters are totally, you know, sure, they'll take on that job. I'm not, because my copy, I want my copy to convert, and it's not going to convert into whatever you want it to convert into unless, you know, my client has done the pre-work.
Yep. You want happy clients, happy results, happy clients. Everyone wants that. So at least know what your process is, know why it's that way, and stick to that. And that goes for everyone, not just when hiring a copywriter, but for, take a look at your processes today. And if they're really, really clear, you'll know where to say no. And, you know, I bet you can start saving some time, because you're going to be saying no a lot more, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love it. So I think we can go ahead and move into our talk strategy to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would love to hear, what can someone do this week to take a look at their copy on their website, in their emails, on their sales pages, whatever. And what are some ways that they can, like, try to weave in some more of their personality, some things that they can kind of mix up if they feel like it's stale and old and, like, overdone? How can they, like, bring new life to it?
So I think the first thing to do is sort of do a self audit. And because it might be great, it might be awesome, but if you're concerned about it, you know, just do kind of a self audit. And if you do the brand language word bank that I talked about before, you can either do that to build your copy or to kind of measure your copy. So create the brand language word bank. If you feel like you need to infuse more of that, you have it right there. If you create it and then you measure it against your copy and you see that there's consistencies, then you're good. But I think that's something that a lot of people don't do, is write out that foundational copy. So your mission statement, your manifesto statements, your elevator pitch, your ideal client description, all of those things. You know, I feel like so many of us, I mean, we're all doing all of the things everywhere, and we're like, oh, it's in my head. I know it. It's fine. But then we sit down and we're like, I don't know what's right. It's like, well, now where is it? Because that's not helpful. So actually writing it out, I think, is really, really helpful. And yeah, then kind of measuring it against or helping, using it to build. If you haven't niched down. I know I was nervous to do that when I first started. And I was like, I'm a writer. I'll write anything for anybody. And turns out, nobody wants to hire that writer. So don't be afraid to niche down, because the exterminator in Florida will find you anyway, no matter what. He will find you.
He will find you.
And he will kill your bugs. still writing sales copy for him. And then, you know, lastly, I would say figure out how to be you. And like how to do that. Because I think it's really, it's not helpful to say, be you. It's like, well, how do I do that? What do I do? And so figure out, you know, through those recorded conversations, or ask somebody, you know, that is close with you, like, what do I say all the time? Like, what's my catchphrase? Because we all have catchphrases. Or what are my, you know, little things? So my, you know, I'm like, cookies and leggings. Those are my things. And Gilmore Girls. And it's interesting that the people that I've attracted to me, just based on those little things, they're like, oh my gosh, Gilmore Girls, right? And it's just like, that's an instant connection.
Yep. We basically just have an audience of people who also binge eat Cheetos.
See? Perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect. So it's not healthy, but perfect. So, you know, figure out what makes you, because oftentimes it's that thing where you're too close to you and you're like, I don't know what makes me. So if you're really uncomfortable with doing the recording thing, just, you know, ask somebody close to you. They will know, because they listen to you all the time.
Well, love it. Cool. Where can people either hang out with you online or hire you to write some copy for them?
So my website is www.tbosslerwriting.com. And my Facebook business page is T. Bossler Writing. And you can find me if you just Google Writer Gal Extraordinaire. That's the nickname that I gave myself, because that is how cool I am. I gave myself a nickname. So yeah, those are the best places to find me.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That was super helpful.
Thank you.
Looking to elevate your brand without the headache? Join the Co-op, our creative template shop membership. With thousands of easy-to-customize templates, all crafted to seamlessly fit your business aesthetics, we make nurturing leads and driving sales effortless. We're talking serious impact and seriously simple creation. Become a member now at creativeshopcoop.com and transform your business today. That's creativeshopcoop.com. Hey, a few quick favors before you leave. I'd love if you'd share today's episode, send it to a friend who needs to hear it, and post on social. You can show us where you're listening from, your favorite takeaway, or why someone else should listen. Be sure to tag me at Abigail Says and at Boss Project so we can share it. Okay, second favor, to get podcast updates and all the behind-the-scenes news from Boss Project, I'd love if you'd join my VIP list. Just head to bossproject.com/signup to make sure I have all your contact details. Really love the show? It would mean so much to me if you'd leave a rating and review. It not only helps more listeners find the show, but allows us to bring on quality sponsors so we can keep bringing you this valuable content for free. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.